have any kind of questions about it, do some comparison shopping. Their top-end mattress is thousands of dollars more affordable, and a 100-night sleep trial. So they're going to get it done right, and a big percentage off to our WCCP listeners as well. Go by and see them. Last night, 6 hours, 56 minutes of sleep, hour 37 of REM, hour 30 of SWS deep sleep last night. So 3 hours and 7 minutes of restorative sleep for me last night on my engineer sleep bed. I love
Incredible.
That. I love that. 333 North Pleasantburg Drive, Engineered Sleep, engineeredsleep.com. Take my advice, like so many of our listeners have done, and get that brand new mattress from those folks. We have a wonderful event coming up 3 weeks from Friday, and part of the benefactor is going to be the first tee of the Upstate. My friend Michael Pius joins us to talk about this, and Michael and Brad are going to give us an idea of a really cool event. Good morning, Michael. How you doing?
Hey, Mickey. How's it going? Thanks for having me on again.
Man, I'm great. You're always welcome. You know that. We believe in the first tee of the Upstate. We believe in the first tee program and the character development and everything going on there. So a big event coming up, and this is something. Have you guys done what you're going to be doing here in 3 weeks? Have y'all done this before?
No. Brad Sundin came to us with this idea, and he's really run with it, and he's running point on it, and we're a small part of it. Like, we've got a youth golf tournament, Top Golf golf tournament, on July 31st, but we've got so much other stuff going on. We've got a vendor information and a park there for, I think he's got 70 to 80 vendors that are coming out, popping up a tent, different nonprofits, different community partners, companies. So that'll be a lot of fun. That's free, starting at 6 at Top Golf in the parking lot. And then we've got the youth tournament starting at 8. We'll have warm-ups from 8 to 8:30. 8:30 to probably close to 9:30 to play the tournament. And we've got cash prizes for the kids, and also half the cash prize is going to go to that young athlete's school for their sports program. So, Brad will tell you a little bit more about kind of the history and what this means to him as an individual and why he's doing this. But we're so pumped and so excited to be a part of this new, unique, and fun event for the whole family. And, because I say this every time I'm on the line with you, but, we're creating fun and unique experiences for these kids to build their inner strength and prepare them for whatever life throws at them, right? You know, we're teaching kids at the first tee how to pursue goals and grow through challenges and collaborate with others and build positive self-identity and how to use good judgment. These are all traits that are going to allow them to be great golfers, but even better people, right? And that's what we're all about at the first tee. And we're excited to line up with Brad and what he's doing and his mission of giving back to a community that he grew up in and that he's passionate about. So we're excited about it. July 31st.
Well, as you know, that's why I have you on, because I do believe in junior golf, and I do believe in the role it plays in character development. Brad, I guess Summer Festival might be the best way to talk about what you guys are going to do. Talk about putting this thing together, and welcome to the show, by the way. And I know you got a lot of excitement heading up for 3 weeks from Friday.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Excitement's a good word for it, and exhaustion's a good word for it, too, man. We're doing a lot of work around the clock. So, so it's the Gratitude Greenville Summer Festival. And, the reason behind this whole thing, the word gratitude, for me, youth sports meant a lot to me. And I grew up over there in Pelham Falls most of my life. My dad built us a house over there. And around 15 years old, I was just very, very sick. With a couple of different things and pretty depressed. And at the time, I just decided to, take that song, 10,000 Reasons, if you know that song, to be thankful, right? And I turned it into a challenge. I said, I'm going to be thankful 10,000 times on Facebook. you know, I calculated it out and everything, and it said it was going to take me like 47 years or however many, 27, I don't even remember. No, 27 years is the number, yeah. So, and so, yeah, I've actually kept that up to this day where I'm actually thankful every day for something. You know, it's been about, you know, 12 years. And so that's, you know, that's the reason, right? You know, there's a lot of great things to be grateful for in Greenville. And I was able to, you know, from honestly, that gratefulness kind of drove me and helped me to become successful in building these businesses in the area. And so that's kind of the meaning behind the event is that, you know, I really want to support youth sports. It's something that, I care very much about, and the folks like First Tee and others that we care a lot about, and some of the other causes like Switch Anti-Trafficking. And Patrick Sapp, the Clemson football star, will be there. You know, he was actually a two-way player, linebacker and quarterback, which is obviously super rare. You know, great player, ended up playing for the Chargers and the Cardinals. So he'll be there with Rise Drug Prevention. And we just wanted to give back to the community in a big way. So it is a summer festival. So in the parking lot, we've already got about 70, 80 vendors. It'll probably be about 100 or something like that in the end. So these are nonprofits and businesses, iced coffee vendors, we got a postpartum charity coming, which I think is awesome. And she's encouraging mothers after they give birth, that sort of thing. So we got tech ball. We have a pickleball tournament in this festival in the parking lot with the vendors. You know, just a time where you can come out and enjoy good, free, family, you know, fun time in the parking lot. And then inside is where we're doing the tournaments. So the kids tournament top prize is $1,250. And, you know, that's real money. You know, that's something I know would have motivated me as a kid playing sports. And we do actually match that to their school. And then another thing, you know, I'm a custom homes company. And so we wanted to really, one thing that we care very much about, Mickey, is helping people get into houses. So we have these custom tiny homes. They're still luxury homes, quartz countertops, the whole thing. They're just smaller, you know, built on a foundation, just smaller. And so our best-selling unit is 364 square foot, one bedroom. You should check it out on our Facebook. We're Bradley Knapp Homes, and we're actually giving one of those away that night. So the VIP tournament, the winner of that VIP tournament will win a $100,000 tiny home that they can give to somebody that they know or to a cause that they, you know is in need. So it's, you know, it's just a big night of giving back. There are multiple charities that will benefit from the night, but I think the real focus is youth sports.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Brett, there's so much going on and so many different people that would be interested in it. Is there a Facebook website? What's the best way to reach, learn more, to get involved, tickets, how to get in, when, where? What's the best way to find out more about it?
Yeah, I would go to the official Visit Greenville website. You know, if you go there and you look up Gratitude Greenville, we're on the Visit Greenville website. Or you can just Google Gratitude Greenville, and the Visit Greenville and the ticketing website will both show up.
Awesome stuff there. Michael, when I – the first tee, obviously, you guys – I think one of the great things you do is you're very innovative in your fundraisers. You do different types of fundraisers. Before I let you guys go and tell us about one more time here, tell us about, you know, why that's important to you and maybe something else going on the first tee, because I just got someone text in, how do I get involved with youth golf and first tee of the Upstate of South Carolina? So I'll let you finish on that.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you. Like I said, you know, we create these fun and unique experiences for these kids to learn more about themselves and these skills that are going to make them great people. So why not make fun and unique experiences for our donors? You know, we're a nonprofit. So those that don't know, we're a local nonprofit. Everything that we raise here in the Upstate stays here in the Upstate. So, and just a quick little shout out for us. Monday, 9 a.m., our fall registration opens. So that means that kids ages 5 to 18 can sign up for our classes anywhere from Gaffney to Seneca down to Greenwood. We've got, about a dozen program locations this fall with multiple classes on multiple days. Kids will sign up for, let's say it's a Monday at 3's Greenville, and they'll sign up for six straight weeks for that class. most of the classes are after school. We do have a few homeschool classes, so if you know some kids that are homeschooled, we've got some opportunities there. 9 a.m. on our website, firsttupstate.org. You can register your kid, your grandkid, your niece, your nephew. But also we need volunteers. And we're going to need volunteers for Gratitude Greenville on July 31st at Topgolf. So please reach out to me. If you go to our website, type in staff in the search bar. You can reach out to me. I'll get them the form to sign up as a volunteer. We'd love to have them come out and learn more about what we do at the First Tee. We'll also have a tent in the Vendor Village, so you can come out and learn more and how you can get involved as a volunteer, donate. We also have our golf trip raffle down to Hilton Head going right now. So that's $100 a ticket for a foursome at Harbortown, Atlantic Dunes, and Heron Point. Also, three-night stay at the Heritage House, which is right on the 10th tee box at Harbortown. So you literally roll out of bed, and you're on to the 10th tee box at Harbortown. So we always, we always have something going on for the kids or for our volunteers or for our donors to get involved and feel like they're a part of the mission and a part of the impact that we're making on these kids and teens' lives. So we really appreciate you spreading the word about Gratitude Greenville and everything that we do here at the First Tee. I really appreciate you.
Believe in the First Tee. firsttupstate.org. Go on there. Learn more. Get your kids involved in it. Volunteers needed. Donors needed. And also for the big event coming up three weeks from Friday, Gratitude Greenville. Go visit greenville.com and find out more about that. Hey, Michael, Brad, thank you guys so much, man. Great luck with that. Great luck at the First Tee in the future as well. And let me know if I can help you, Michael.
Thanks, Mickey. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day for sure. All right, let's take a short break. We'll come back. We went over the one thing I know. Ashby, I need some help on the next aspect of Clemson football.
Let's break it down.
Short break. We'll open up phone lines as well. Love to hear from you. Text line, phone line, 654 Roar, Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines, and 654 Roar, the Adams Curve text line. So much more when you come back right after this.
If you're online, you've got the Roar at your fingertips. From a beach and valley to the Rocky Mountains, you don't have to miss a minute. You can catch your favorite show streaming live on the Roar app or at theroarfm.com at any time.
I'm amazed at fabric now and moisture wicking and cool. And so now one of the things I've learned here is loose-fitting long sleeve can be cooler. You see guys that are working outside all day long or guys working on roofs, guys working in concrete and all, and they're wearing long sleeves. Now, how does that work? Well, they've got this moisture-wicking material. They've got it loose, and it's keeping the sun off of you. So you want some of that stuff? Elkmont Trading Company. What Lee and Amy do is they've gone out and got with the very best vendors and the very best products out there, and that means the Patagonias and the Free Flies and the Z-Supplies and the Vioris and the Birkenstocks and the On Running shoes and all the great sunglasses and all the great camping and all the great kayaking and everything is there. Something for everyone. But I'll just encourage you this. The fabric that we're making now, the advances we're making now, cool down with the great summertime apparel. Do that. Elkmont Trading Company, 93 and 123 in Clemson.
Sizzling scores all summer long.
And he makes the catch!
The Roar.
I know you know this. His wife can't touch me. I know you know this. We want to redo our deck and our back porch, and I know you know who to call. Yeah. That's an easy one. That's a layup. It's Harbin Lumber. Randy and Wes and all the good folks are that way. The installed services, not only the cabinets, not only the garage doors, and all the, part of the installed services is they come in and they can redo, build, rebuild, remodel decks, screen-in porches. They can do an awesome, awesome job. We love Harbin Lumber. Harbin Lumber, remember the number, 353-5053. Make that backyard. There's very few things that I enjoy more than just family time. And so, like, last night I'm outside cooking and my kids are out on a little swing set and running around the yard and all. And let Harbin Lumber make that deck and that screening porch even better. HarbinLumber.com. That was, I know the band. It's the guy who does the Same As It Ever Was. Same As It Ever Was. That's lead singer's name is David something. And that band is...
Believe in You.
Don't.
Talking Heads.
Talking Heads.
I got a hater on the text line.
I know.
I got a hater.
The U.S. says no, it's out of anger.
I like that song.
It's a good song.
I'll switch it up. I'll switch it up.
All right.
Do something different next.
All right. All right, so in case you missed hour number one, I gave you the one thing. I know Clemson's secondary is going to be better next year. Myrick is – first, A, it can't be worse. But Myrick and Carter and Washington and Starr, along with Gibson's development and Hampton and Polo Anderson and some of these guys, they're going to be better in the secondary. And
they're
that's going to allow them to do – that's allowing them to do some more. Hey, I'm worried about defensive tackle.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a little bit worried about depth at defensive end. I'm worried about the starting linebacker that was vacated by the kid that left to go to Ole Miss. But I do think schematically it will be better. And I told you that there's a head coach that's very familiar with Clemson that said, remind me to tell you off the air who that was, but that his hands were just tied. It had to be so simple because of the lack of talent. All right. I want to believe this one, and Ashley Mixon, you have a major job this morning. You need to lead me to a positive thought here.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
One of my favorite players in Clemson football history is Artavis Scott.
Me too.
The leading receiver in Clemson history, but it's not because of that. The reason I loved Artavis Scott is, as a true freshman, very first game down in Georgia, he goes up, makes this 50-50 ball, and makes a great play. He wasn't scared of it. But more than anything else, Artavis Scott, despite not being the biggest cat in the world, extremely physical. Among the axioms that I have in my college football days here, I go back to the Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, who says, our physicality starts at wide receiver. Everybody else thinks the physicality is at line of scrimmage. No, our physicality starts at wide receiver. And we build from there in. All that downfield blocking, how important our downfield blocking is for in the passing game for each other and in the run game, our wide receivers will physically dominate you. And they've had big, strong wide receivers there. One of my and look, I love – Westco, and I love Moore, and I think Tyler Brown's got a chance to get back to where he was, and Smith, and I think this wide receiver core, I think the freshmen are going to be better. Burroughs is going to be a football player here. I think Simon and Sellers are going to be good players here. With that said, I need them to be more physical. There has been a little bit of blocking issues on the edge. There's been a little bit of getting off the line of scrimmage sometimes. I need to be bigger, stronger, and not just bigger, stronger. I need to be attitude-wise. Mm-hmm. I need Clemson wide receivers to bring a more physical attitude to the game. Can that happen?
And have to be better in some 50-50 balls.
That's part of physicality.
Yes.
That's my football. Nuke Hopkins' deal was, shame on you, defensive back, mm-hmm. for even considering that's your football. That's my football, and I'm going to take it from you.
Correct. And there was some of that last year, and Wesco and TJ Moore have the ability to make some acrobatic catches and all that, but if I'm not mistaken, Clemson led the ACC in drops last year.
Yes.
And if you're having big physical wide receivers that are dudes, they're supposed to be the best group in the ACC, that's got to be way down this year.
Yep. Yep. Go make plays. Physically dominate, guys. Blocking, 50-50 balls, yards after the catch, yards after contact.
Yak it up.
Look, Christopher Vecina is not an arm talent. He's not going to wow anybody by throwing people in tight windows. He's not going to wow anybody by these lasers going downfield. Clemson's wide receivers, Moore, Wesco, Brown, I'm talking to you. Smith, I'm talking to you. Burroughs, I'm talking to you. They've got to make him better. They got to make the offense better by blocking more. and blocking better. But they've got to go the 50-50 balls you mentioned. They got to go yards after contact. They've got to be physically better. And because there's a lot of talent there. Moore's a talented kid. Westcott's a talented kid. But I need to see more. And I need to see consistency. Here's a word I use a lot. I need to know, man, I can depend on that guy. I can count on that guy. Times I have been able to count on Moore and Westcott.
Westcott's pretty reliable. He was just hurt for a good amount of the season last year.
Yep.
He's pretty solid in the year and a half that he's been there.
I agree.
But this is how I see this group.
Yeah.
When you look at this team top to bottom, looking at the roster right now, Dabo Swinney called this group, quote, a bunch of nobodies. And he meant that in a way of, you know, underdog and building that whole mentality, whatever. Your wide receivers aren't nobodies. This is going to probably pound for pound be your most talented group on the team. And so you have to behave that way. You have to.
Yeah.
With a new quarterback, new offensive line, Gideon Davidson, sophomore as your running back, like, they have to be the guys.
100%.
And that starts with physicality. You're totally right.
100%. You ready for my final one?
Okay.
Can you pull up Tracy Chapman, Talk About Revolution?
Oh, what a good song.
Banger.
Banger. You got it down now. I can't wait until I hear you sing this song.
Okay. Last year, let me give you the other numbers here, not just last year. Chad Morris was brought back to Clemson to do a couple things. One, get rid of the RPO and run the football more. Not get rid of it, but there's too many RPOs last year. And as a result, Clemson didn't run the football as well as they could have and should have. In 2019, Clemson ran for 240 yards a game. You heard me right. Last year ran for 124. That number was down. They went starting in 2019, 240 yards a game, 154, 168, 178, 174, 173, then 124. The number that's the lowest number in the last 7 years, at least. They went from 6.4 yards a carry in 2019 to 3.9 yards per carry. It's the first time in the last 7 years they were less than 4 yards per carry. Running the football, it opens up. Vecina's got to have a running game to help him. The short yard is part of it. The physical nature part of it. The big plays in the running game, something they didn't have enough of last year. Randall did a really good job last year.
More than his fault.
Yeah. 10 touchdowns, 814 yards.
The issue with that was every time somebody would get going, it felt like they would abandon the run. You saw in the LSU game, they didn't run the ball once in the fourth quarter after having a halftime lead, after Adam Randall had just gotten going. Chad Morris, the first thing he said when he got to Clemson in January was, we are going to be a team that runs the football, first and foremost.
Yeah,
that's how you free up anything, and that's why they're going to have to do that, especially with Vezina.
Do we have
TC? I have it ready. You ready?
Yeah.
Come on, Tracy.
All right.
My mom calls people that are cool, that just have a different level of cool. She calls them Tracy Chapman cool.
Oh, man. Can't stop the run? Then I'm going to run it right down your throat, and you ain't going to like it, and it's going to be a long day for you, pal. You ain't going to like anything to do with it. I'm physically going to beat you up, and it's going to be a long plane ride back home. You get tired of hearing the fight song. But you're going to prove to me you're going to stop the run. What happened around here lately is we didn't even try to make anybody prove they can stop it. We stopped it ourselves by not calling it. You got to run. Got to run the ball, man.
Have to. And to be honest with you, when he got chances, Adam Randall was great. He was a bright spot of the offense. Issue was him
yep.
as well as your talented tight ends that you had, never got opportunities, it felt like. You got to have it this year. If you want those wide receivers to get opportunities and be wide open, that's how you do it.
Can I give you this stat about Clemson football?
Please.
Adam Randall had 10 rushing touchdowns last year. Outside of Adam Randall, I'm going to make you depressed about last year, but maybe give you some hope for this year. Outside of Adam Randall, how many rushing touchdowns do you think the other running backs had last year?
Zero.
One. Keith Adams Jr. had one.
That's right.
One.
You know what hurt, too, is that in 2024, Cade was very mobile. Had a bunch of rushing touchdowns. Then last year, I think with the injury and whatever else, completely stopped that too. Yeah. There wasn't a threat there.
You gotta
brutal.
Run.
You gotta run.
Run the ball, man.
Run, Tigers.
Can I be optimistic about an offensive line?
Please. I need a little sunshine pumping there.
I think it's going to be a little bit better than last year. I really do. And man, part of that is, in scheme-wise, if you're an offensive lineman and you're doing RPO stuff, you're kind of like, is this a run? Is this a pass? What are we doing? Like, we're reading the linebackers and we're reading the safeties. We're like, I just want to go hit somebody, block somebody. I got my guy in front of me, and you're telling me I can't go to, like, the physically dominated. Whereas if I call the inside power, if I call the a trap deal, and if I cost a counter, now I'm just going to go just knock somebody's head off. Now I'm going to just dominate the guy in front of me. I think the mentality is going to be a little bit different. RPO, if I'm an offensive lineman, I'm like, I don't want to play an RPO offense, man. Sitting here kind of passively backing up, not knowing. I'm going to try to lock my man. I just want to go hit somebody, go dominate somebody. I want to de-cleat somebody. Let's just go. So I think that mentality is going to make a difference.
We'll see.
Run the ball.
My concern, though, about the offensive lineman is on September 5th. And it's four of your five starters are going to be coming off of season-ending injuries from last year.
It's another thing, man.
Which nobody's talking about. They're hurting.
It's always hurt.
Somebody's hurt. Plus, you got guys that are playing in different positions they never played in. Plus, you got young guys.
The kiss of death for a Clemson offensive lineman is like, have a good game. Because as soon as you have a good game, you're going to get hurt next game.
Or after the game, like Braden Jacobs, just jumping up and down, celebrating his team.
It's crazy.
Come on. If there was an injury to cap off the 2020, whatever it was, five season, it was that one.
Yeah. Speaking of O-line, I had another thought yesterday. And I think you could be interested in it.
Let's do it.
Short break. We'll come back much more on the other side.
From the first kickoff in Death Valley to the final pitch in Doug Kingsmore, we're your flagship station for Clemson athletics all year long. The Clemson Athletic Network lives right here on The Roar.
On The Roar,
where every day is game day.
Chris Pratt injury phone lawyers, or injury phone lines here, 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Go to 864-LAW.com. 864law.com, right here in the upstate of South Carolina. Personal injury cases, accidents, injuries, other services, they do a great job of that. Their website is easy to find. Go to 864law.com, 864law.com, and appreciate the sponsorship of our Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines, which we'll open up right after this.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson.
You got a lot of stuff going on. You're back in the East Coast.
Yes.
You going to Birmingham or you're here?
I think I'm here.
Okay. The other guys. I think The Other Guys is Will Ferrell's best movie.
Is that the one where he's married to
Eva
Mendes?
Yeah. Yeah. Talks about ugly shit.
So mean too.
Yeah. Watch out. Anyway, Michael Keaton's in it. He's the police captain. And he always throws out stuff like, listen, guys, do it good out there. I said, I'm not in any scrubs today. And they're like, TLC's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, did they do Don't They Chase Waterfalls?
Waterfalls,
yeah. He's like, listen, guys, be careful. I'm still going to chase waterfalls out there. He's like, you're sure you never heard of TLC? I said, never heard of them. Like, he's throwing stuff out there. It's a great, really cool stuff. Anyway.
What a crazy bit to have Michael Keaton do.
Yeah. And he works part-time at Bed Bath & Beyond. And sometimes he got his meetings confused with his sales team compared to his police team. That's great. I'm telling you. It's Will Ferrell's best movie. But anyway, that's TLC. That is TLC, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm dying.
Left Eye Lopez.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Isn't that Left Eye Lopez from TLC?
I think so.
She's the one who didn't – wasn't she married or dating to Andre Rison?
Wasn't there someone with a fire?
Yeah, fire at his house. She set it? Somebody else set it or something?
I think she set fire to his shoes is the lore that my mom told me.
All right. Find that out for me while I do this.
All right.
Find it out for me. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, please. Blue Ridge Heating and Air. They're going to come in. They're a great team. They got this Armstrong, this awesome Armstrong HVAC unit, heat pump unit. They got the Arctic Flex, which is like the greatest thing ever. And they've got a team that assembled with it. They talk about efficiency all the time. Talk about air consistency all the time. Talk about the quality of your air in your home. Getting rid of the mold detectors they have in your home, the humidity of your home. They talk about all those things and more. So these are smart guys. These are engineering guys, Ben and Chris, and they started this company. You're going to love them. Do the preventive maintenance program like we did. Have them come in your home like we did. You're going to love it. It's Blue Ridge Heating Air, BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
Before I could even get to Google.com, I got a text from my mom,
right,
who said, yes, this is correct. She put his shoes in the bathtub and was trying to burn his shoes that he got. And in that, burned his whole house down.
Not burning shoes because they stank.
I mean, they might have, but I don't think it was after a domestic dispute.
And she didn't burn the house.
Got away from her.
Woo! Texas said, Left Eye burnt Andre Bad Moon Rise's house down. That's Jeff and Manny. Yeah.
I like that everybody else knows this, and this wasn't a weird childhood memory that my mom told
me. Yeah.
As an Atlanta
girl.
It's
funny how, like, you're aware of it, but you're not aware of it. Like, you kind of, there's a little ember in there, a little spark, and you go, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah. That happens all the time to me now.
Mind you, this happened before I was born. Mm. But I still got it. Thanks, Mom. Pop culture knowledge.
A lot of things happened before you were born. Fewer things happened before I was born. All right.
Civil War.
I have to get this. Well, it was after. Had to get this in, okay? I am reminded, we're talking about offensive line play. It is so hard to quantify offensive line play. Mm-hmm. To me, there is one stat out there that tells the story. And to me, it's points per game. Clemson was even maligned with their offensive line even during national championship years, even when they're setting record scoring and record total offense and record rushing and record passing. But they said, well, the offensive line's not good. Well, Trevor Lawrence is so great, Deshaun Watson is so great, Mike Williams is so great, and Artavis Scott is so great, and T. Higgins is so great, and Travis Etienne is so great. But it's not the offensive line. Well, I don't know, man. Like, I think if you had a terrible offensive line, it'd be the case. But that said, it's so hard to quantify it, and it's also so hard to analyze it as fans because a great example is four offensive linemen do their job, one guy does not. Then it blows back on you, man, the offensive line didn't play very well in that play, gave up three sacks. Well, the left tackle gave up three sacks, the right tackle played well, the right guard played well, the center played well, the left guard played well, one guy didn't play very well. I mean, not even that. I think it was Robbie Caldwell's daughter who sat in front of a buddy of mine one time. And this guy, Clemson, gave up a sack one time. And the guy's like, come on, O-line! And Robbie Caldwell's daughter turns around and said, it's a five-man protection. They blitz six. What do you want the offensive line to do? It's on the quarterback to get rid of the ball with a five-man protection. And I'm sure the man, like, and it's a female who told him that. And she's like, okay, I'm sorry. So the point there is,
shut him down real quick.
Yeah, that sacks is not a good indicator of it. Quarterback holds on to the ball too long. Ball's got to come out, whatever. Guy runs the wrong route. The running back doesn't pick up the extra attacker. He goes the wrong side. Somebody makes the wrong call on a slide call. The quarterback makes the wrong call on a slide call, whatever. So it's not an easy deal to analyze an offensive line. Well, they gave up three sacks. They're fourth in the country in sacks. They didn't give it. No, it's just points per game, man. And I know Mendoza can bail you out at quarterback, or Deshaun Watson can bail you out. I get all that. But in the end, this can be points per game.
I think if there's a consistent trend of across quarterbacks of a low amount of sacks allowed or vice versa, a lot of sacks allowed, that tells you something about a unit as a whole. I just think it does.
It does. Let me say this, though. Well, it depends. Is it a corner blitz that the tight end didn't slide on?
But, you look at a season worth of whatever.
Yeah, there's enough evidence of that. I get that.
Because everybody else is in that same point, is in that same boat.
With that said, during a game in which a reporter, a radio talk show host, a radio producer, a fan, we're sitting in the stands, you can't watch a football game and correctly, fairly analyze offensive line play live as it's happening. You can go back and watch the film, watch the video. But while it's happening, there's a lot going on. There's five of them. I don't know a human being who watched five different guys do all five techniques. Did they take the right step? Did they block the right guy? Right assignment? Was everything? There's a lot going on in there. What was the play call? What was the slide call? What was the, what was the scheme here? Did the tight end not, did the back, did the receiver not run a quick route, a hot route off of it? Did the quarterback not get rid of the ball? There's a lot in there, in other words. So offensive line stuff's hard. Analyzing an offensive line is hard. Quantifying an offensive line is hard. And I don't buy the Pro Football Focus stuff either. There's no way Pro Football Focus does all that stuff right. So with that said, this year, offensive line, the top offensive line, this is Phil Steele Magazine. Notre Dame 1, Ohio State 2, Indiana 3, Tennessee 4, Southern Cal 5. Can I say that about Indiana's offensive line? Their offensive line coach, phenomenal. They were absolute clinicians last year. And those weren't all that highly rated guys. The center came in from Notre Dame. He was highly rated. Outside of that, they weren't really highly rated guys. Anyway, 6 Missouri, 7 Georgia, 8 Oregon, 9 Army. I don't know how you judge their offensive line compared to others.
Man, that's their whole thing, being in the trenches.
10 Virginia, 11 Michigan, 12 Navy. I like it. SMU 13, Cincinnati 14, Iowa 15. Clemson offensive line, projected individual units offensive line, Clemson 40. South Carolina, they ranked the top 69. Not in the top 69. Behind Connecticut, behind Miami, Ohio, behind Air Force, behind South Florida. And I think they're going to be better on the offensive line, but Jacksonville State's better than them. James Madison, Vanderbilt, Northwestern. Can I give you this? This is a shocking number here. Clemson fans right now are going, oh, my gosh, Clemson's 40th on the offensive line. We're not going to be very good on the offensive line. I'll give you one guess on the number 61 offensive line, according to Phil Steele Magazine, is right now. Number 61. 61st best offensive line in the country, according to Phil Steele.
Who?
Alabama. Number 61 offensive line. I read a bunch here in recent days, in about the past week, since I got this and started looking at it. But it's not a unit that's very highly thought of, and it's not a unit that's got a whole lot of guys coming back, and it's not a unit that's got a whole lot of expectations. Michael Carroll comes back at one guard. That's just about it. Alabama, number 61 offensive line. I'm not sure I would have ever said that phrase in my life, but that's where it is now. You quickly, you want to know the other Clemson unit rankings?
Please.
Quarterback, number 49, high or low? You think they're better than that or worse than that?
Better.
Running back, 37?
About right.
Wide receiver, 5.
Five, really?
Mm-hmm. Only wide receiver corps better, according to this, Ohio State, Oregon, Miami, and Texas.
Then they better be physical.
I agree. Told you offensive line, 40th. Defensive line, Clemson, 12th. That appears to be a little higher.
Lower.
Linebacker, Clemson, 10th. Secondary, Clemson, 13th. Phil Steele thinks that it's going to be much better. And then special teams, 34.
Linebacker at 10?
Linebacker 10. No. Yeah, linebacker 10. Sammy Brown.
That's a lot of love for Sammy Brown.
It is. It is.
Can't blame him.
You know who's going to be a good linebacker for Clemson by the end of the year? This Riley kid, this freshman Riley
yes.
kid.
Yes. I was wondering why people hadn't been talking about him. I was looking him up yesterday.
Yeah. He came in bigger than they thought.
He's going to be a stud.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, but you're going to like that. You're going to like that a little bit. All right, I'll ask Paul Strelo about a lot of that stuff and more. And about a there's a really unfortunate situation with one of the recruits that's about to announce his dad passed away. So we'll ask him about that. After the Strelo segment, and if you have any recruiting questions, text those in, and we could probably get Paul to comment on that coming up and where they're on summer camps and all that. And then start thinking about the football season itself a little bit. You can do that on Adams and Carter. Text on 654-ROAR, 654-7627. And then after that, a couple of open phone line segments. Pride Energy phone lines, 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Ashby Mixon, Mickey Poller, third and final hour of a Tuesday show. We return after a very short top of the hour break.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHD-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
If you don't agree with one of our hosts,
you're an idiot.
Let us know on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Out there right now, there's somebody listening to me who has back tax issues. Somebody out there has a tax amendment issue. Somebody out there has an extension issue. Let's take care of all that. Let's wipe. Look, the summertime, it's a good chance to go in. You know, you can't take your back tax issues to them in the middle of March or first part of April. If you have any back tax issues, right now is a good time to clear that up. And then part of that would be, hey, we found some stuff later on. Can we go back and amend our taxes? So they could do all that for you. Out there somewhere right now, there's some companies thinking about maybe changing what kind of LLC they are or forming a new LLC or forming a new 501c3. They could do all that at Patterson Tax Service. Let Russell, Donnie, their expertise, Marty, those great folks, let them do that for you. Now's a good time to take care of that, to plan for the future, tax planning, tax evaluation. It's the Patterson Tax Service, 864-859-8289.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The upstate.